Yarnnets. I'm your host, Minx, or Yarn Minx, as you can find me on Instagram, that I can just keep you company for the next hour or so. And we can just talk about all manners of things. I'll talk, you listen. But any feedback is always appreciated, wherever you can leave those podcasting reviews. But I've started this podcast typically because I've been in the fiber community about 2 years now. I originally started with knitting. The community's been so great to me, and it's just been so lovely. All the new people I've met. I have one girl I follow on Instagram that she's in Russia, and she makes stitch markers, and they're gorgeous. You know, but it's like, it's a connection I never thought I would have. And there's just people all around the world that I've been able to meet and see a little glimpse into their life. And it's just been so great and so positive that I just felt like, you know, time to reach back on out and see if maybe I can just be a good friend to somebody while they're working or going throughout their day. I can just be a nice voice to listen to and we can kind of, you know, give a little back. But I did start knitting about 2 years ago. I had a friend that she offered to teach me. Her story was that she had been knitting when she was young and her whole family had done it. They had gone to knit groups and it was just kind of like a family activity that they had just done when she was younger. And then she kind of fell off of it. And then I was going through a period of my life where I needed a hobby. You know, I needed something to replace just what I currently was dealing with. And she was like, let me teach you knitting. This is something, you know, that you can look into. And so we sat down on the couch and for 3 hours, I struggled so hard to just knit this tiny little patch. I look back on it. I kept it, of course. It's all mangled and it's, you know, the tension's bad and there's little blips everywhere and there's drop stitches. I remember struggling through this like, oh my God, this is so complicated. I really liked it and it took off and I was like, you know, this is a great hobby. And I think for the first year, you know, I found a couple stitches that I really liked. I think the majority of my scarves were one by one rib stitch. I loved that look. And they were quick and easy scarves, and they were just nice to do while I was sitting and like watching TV. So I just spun up a ton of those. So the first year, it was majorly focused on scarves. I think scarves were my comfort zone. They were very easy for me to get into and just relax into. But after my first year, January hit, the new year rolled in, and I was like, okay, this year my goal is to do hats. I was like, I want to knit a hat because I had never done a hat. I had never gone on to anything that was structured. I had never knit in the round. It was just all these new skills I wanted to do. I wanted to do seamless knitting in the round. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world, and it looked so complicated to me, and I was like, I want to do hats. You know, my first hat was a beginner hat. It was knit flat and then you seamed it. And I'm awful at seaming. That's, I don't know how people do it. I watch all the videos on Instagram and everybody's so talented with it and it always looks so nice. And oh, looking back on my first seams are not great. You know, they were super bunched up and they would like hit into your head and they didn't lay nice. And it was just, I just wanted them to be together and not gapped. And it was just, whew, way overdone. So my first couple hats were a little pinched, but after that, I tried a hat in the round, seamless, and it was fun. I'd never done increases or decreases with my scarves. They were very simple. A lot of the couple hats I did turned out pretty well, and a couple I look back and I'm like, ooh, that was a really bad decrease, but you know, it was a nice learning curve. But after January, I was so burnt out on hats. I was like, okay, I've done hats. I checked off this year goal a little early. So what else do I want to, you know, tackle? And my brain was like, okay, I want to do a sweater. And that's always, to me, I always see these gorgeous sweaters that everybody bangs out. And there's a couple of really fun ones by, I think her name on Instagram is Loper. And she's got a fox sweater, which I think looks so cute. And I was like, all right, I want to try to tackle a sweater. And I went into the sweater and I looked at it and I was like, okay, let's do a sweater. And I'm very intimidated by patterns and charts. And so I got like 5 or 6 different sweater patterns that they were all beginner. And I got into it, and I always get about, I don't know, 20, like 20 rows into it, and then I lose interest. So I started the sweater, and then I lost interest, which I felt really bad about. By the time I was into this, I was like, I'm so tired of the sweater, and there's so many stitches. And it was starting to get warmer, and I was like, you know what? I kind of needed a tank top. So I just completely dropped the sweater. And what I originally did was a halter top, which it let me learn how to do casting on new stitches with like a slip stitch, and then which made a really cool edge. And then, you know, it was knitting in the round, and then it was attaching I-cord straps. And I had never done an I-cord strap before, which I, you know, new skills. It was cool. So I really enjoy making I-cord straps. They're really fun. So I did about 4 tank tops and all this chunky weight yarn. I'm still very much a beginner. So I'm still picking up new techniques, and I'm still trying to learn how to do patterns. I really should do a knit along. That's something that I should probably plan for this year. But it's just something that I just tend to bounce. And I think as knitters, we tend to bounce our interests a lot. And I was kind of hoping that maybe this podcast will help me get some more structure. But we'll see. I didn't expect to get this much into knitting. It was just kind of a replacement hobby to get me by. And then it just took off. And I got into the community on Instagram because I went looking around for some support groups, and I won't get too much into it, but my health, you know, had a difficult moment, and I was looking around, and I saw that there were Facebook support groups, but they weren't great, and I absolutely hate using Facebook. And then I was just kind of looking at knitting on Instagram, and I was like, I wonder if there's, you know, some spoony knitters out there. And there are. And I think the first knitter that really stood out to me that was just absolutely amazing was this knitter, Knit V. And V just was so upbeat and so cool. You can check her out on Instagram. She's got, you know, posts introducing herself and her story about her health and, you know, her knit journey and her crochet journey. But it was just, V was so positive. And it was the time in my life where, you know, I was trying to reach out and kind of establish a community and still kind of feel normal. You know, I saw this knitter that was doing amazing things, and so it was so upbeat and super fun, and she was just everything I wanted to be. I was like, this is so cool. Somebody that's just living life to the fullest and having a good time. And it was just inspiring to me. So I just started looking for more support groups and just kind of other knitters out there that, you know, were struggling with disabilities or their health. And, you know, I kind of followed along to just kind of watch their journey to kind of give me that little inspiration. So whenever I see the things where people are like, oh, you know, social media is so toxic, and it's like, it's been nothing but positive for me. And it's so relaxing and so upbeat. And it's just was a boost of helping me along in a time when I needed it. And then when my health started to improve, it just kind of flourished. I just kept going. I wanted to learn new things. I wanted to meet new people. I wanted to help support small businesses and promote brands. And it was just, I didn't really care about like showing the world what I was doing, which is fun. Like knitting is gorgeous. The yarn is pretty. I love it. But it was just, I wanted to help push at what other people were doing. You know, I wanted to help any of the smaller knitters that were coming in and, you know, trying to flesh out their accounts and, you know, kind of just see what their life is like and their journey and anything and everything craft-wise, I love. And I find that I just follow more and more accounts that are small business oriented or new to the fiber world. And it was so positive for me. I just kind of want to push that positivity back out. And I keep finding myself wandering into different areas of Instagram. Like, I don't intend it. I keep telling myself, stick to a hobby. Get really good at knitting. Don't stray away. Eventually someday I'd like to learn crochet, but it's, you know, I keep trying to tell myself, get better at knitting first. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to work on my knitting. And then I got really distracted because the Knitting Blonde, another woman I follow, started spinning. And I was following her feed and I was like, oh my gosh. It's like, oh, cool. Spinning yarn. I didn't even think of that. So I fell down this rabbit hole of spinning and spindles and all the different types of spindles and spinning wheels versus support spindles. And it was just this massive thing just exploded. And I was like, oh, I love all of it. So slowly picked up spinning as well. Because there's so many spinners and they make all the hand spun yarn. And then I was seeing that people were doing weaving and all the looms everywhere. And then I fell down that rabbit hole and I was like, oh my gosh, weaving. And I recently saw, I can't remember her account, but she just, one of the weavers I watched, she made a giant fox head. It was all with hand spun and roving. And it was, and it's just the things people actually can do. Like Yarn Crafts is another one I follow. And she recently did a piece where she incorporated an actual branch with the pink blossoms for the spring. And it was just the best thing I've ever seen. And I love weavers are a whole nother level of talented. That's something where I'm like, you guys are so artistic. I don't know how you do it, but weaving was great. So I fell into weaving. I picked up a little tiny like lap loom to kind of try my hand at it, but I'm not very artistic. So I kind of fell back off of it. I did make a little wall hanging and it's a tiny, tiny, it's like maybe 6 inches by like 12 inches. It was nice to do and I love the process. So I'd like to get more into weaving someday, but I keep telling myself, stick to just a couple hobbies. Don't absorb everything. But there's so many cool things people do in the fiber community. And it's so fun because you could just be scrolling through your feed and then somebody does something really neat. And you're like, oh my gosh, that is super cool. I've never seen anything like that before. So I've just kind of bounced around with my fiber life and it's just new and fresh and exciting to me all the time. So I am the kind of person that's very, very excited about the fiber arts. It's just something that it's just makes me so energized and it just, this is a long way to get here. I hope you took a sip of your drink. It was a long way to get here, but this is why I kind of started this podcast, because I do just want to share my thoughts and all the kind of people I've met and just kind of put something back out into the world that's positive and upbeat and fun. I have fallen in a new rabbit hole and I've really gotten into farming and that's my new thing. Farming and homesteads, I'm all about. And I know you're like, oh, this is a bit different. This I was expecting a more knit topic. I started following, I wanted to support the small business. So I started following some small time sheep farmers because I wanted to get it right from the source. You know, I kind of want to see the sheep that I'm getting my wool from. So I felt this was a great way to kind of have that personal connection to it. And, you know, farms I started following on Instagram was Blaine Fleece and Fiber. I've always struggled with wool because I have a bit of sensitivity to it. I had no luck ever like picking out yarns in the store. And I was like, well, let me see if I can try different sheep breeds and I can see if I can deal, I can touch wool. Maybe it's just a certain type. So I reached out to her and I was like, do you have a sample kit? I know you have so many different sheep. Do you have any like recommendations of maybe a breed that I could use that would be easier to handle? Anything that's, you know, better towards people who have wool allergies? And she was super great. And she sent me a sample box of like 10 different, like 1 ounce balls of roving. So I could try the different breeds. And she had tons of them. She had them labeled and she let me know which sheep they were from. I absolutely love it. She's got the cutest sheep. She's got like Ruby and Cupcake and Garnet's my favorite. He's such a handsome boy. She had all these sheep and I just loved it. And it just let me kind of sit through and do some sample testing with this. And I found as I did more research into it that it's not the wool that I have the problem with. It's the lanolin inside of the wool. If you don't know, lanolin is more like the wool grease. It's usually what softens the wool. So typically, the softer the wool, the higher the lanolin counts. It makes it less scratchy and it's just finer. Typically, finer breeds of sheep have it. So like Merino typically has a high lanolin count. Well, the lanolin is what makes me sensitive to it. So I can't ever touch Merino. And I've tried so many blends because Merino is everywhere. Merino is absolutely everywhere. I've tried mixing it with cotton. I've tried it with silk, and it's just, I can't do merino. It's got too high of a lanolin count. And I was keeping notes of, you know, what breeds had lower lanolin count, what had higher lanolin count, and what bothered me. Because the best test is just trying it. Unfortunately, it's uncomfortable, but you have to try it. So I found that mostly meat-oriented breeds typically have a lower lanolin count. So anything like a Black Welsh Mountain, a Jacob, a Gotland, you know, more hardy kind of sheep, they tend to have the lower lanolin count. And I'm not sure if that's just based on, you know, their breed, what they're bred for. I have no idea why. Somebody far more knowledgeable on this has a clue. I don't. But I found out that, you know, I was slowly going through and trying out different ones. And you take out your sample, you play with it a little, you spin with it. And if you're still good after 30 minutes to an hour, you're probably okay with it. Some of them I would get out and within 5 minutes, I'd be like, oh, can't, my throat's dying, can't. And it made me so sad because Garnet is my favorite sheep that Blaine Fleece and Fiber has. He's so handsome. He's got a black face with a little eyebrow, like brown eyebrows. He's so cute. He's a fin sheep. And typically people can, if they have a sensitivity, they can handle fin sheep. I cannot. I cannot. I got some of his roving and I played with it for 5 minutes and I was so sad about it. I was like, oh no, I cannot use you to spin. I was so sad. No luck. He's still a gorgeous sheep. I still watch him. He's so cute. I ordered a big batch of Icelandic because that's the best for me. Icelandic was the easiest. It didn't bother me and I could get a good amount of it and spin it. It's a little more rustic, a little more tough. It's a more of a meat breed, so it's not as soft. And another farm that I've gotten roving from is Fuzzy Ewe Farm. And that's ewe like E-W-E, like the sheep. She gave me a good sample pack. And I actually got some alpaca and some llama and some camel, actually, which was fun. Moving away from the lanolin was the easiest for me. Most of my stash is actually cotton yarn or alpaca. That's what I ended up moving into because it was just such a struggle with wool. And it's a little disappointing because I love all the pretty hand-dyed blends, like all the everything I see. Every time I go to find a hand dyer and I'm like, oh my God, I love your blends so much. And then I look and it's all merino or superwash. And I'm like, well, never mind. And it's hard because alpaca typically doesn't take dye as well as merino. And the colors end up more muted, which I don't mind. I'm kind of a more neutral kind of person when I knit anyways. But you're not going to get the really vibrant, like galaxy crazy brightness from an alpaca. I just started following more and more farms. Like as I was going through my roving kind of journey down the spinning rabbit hole, I was just following more and more farms because I wanted to see the animals that I was, you know, getting my roving from. I wanted to kind of help contribute. Like Blaine Fleece and Fiber, she has the option that you can buy the sheep cookies and you can buy them a bale of hay. And it's just, it's nice to contribute. So I started following more and more farms as I was getting more involved with switching to alpaca. Because I definitely wanted to support that. And I love alpacas. My goal is eventually to have my own alpacas, which would be my final goal would be to get some alpacas, maybe a llama, you know. But it was nice because I just started following more farmers because I wanted to learn more. You know, I had the interest. I loved the process. I really wanted to. Originally, I was looking at sheep because I wanted to do from start to finish. I wanted to have my own sheep. I wanted to shear them. I wanted to process the fleece, make roving, spin the yarn, knit it into something. I wanted from start to finish. And that just kind of moved over. I just kind of switched animals for what worked best with me. So I started following more and more farms. And I'm not going to lie, I was following just random farms. And I was bouncing through Instagram stories. I ended up getting captured into the farrowing season for pigs, which is, you know, the birth, you know, birthing pigs. And I got distracted because I fell down that rabbit hole because I was like, oh, it's, you know, it's baby season. It was so interesting to me. And I just bounced from like farrowing to lambing and then calving. And I just, by the time I was done, I was following so many different farms and homesteads. And I really liked it. And it was really just kind of that concept of the whole full circle, you know, being able to use something in the process. And for a little while there, I started watching someone making cheese from scratch. I'm never going to do that, but it was fascinating. So it's just, I find that I just keep learning and falling into all these different avenues on Instagram, which is so much fun. I've had such a good time just finding new and interesting things that I never thought about. Like, if you had told me 2 years ago that I'd be knitting like crazy and spinning and following a million people who have farms and homesteads on Instagram, I would have been like, you're crazy. I have no idea what you're talking about. But it's just my life now. And I love it. It's just, I'm super passionate about it. And it's nice to meet other people that are also as passionate about it. You know, I don't have enough friends that I can just rant about wool and alpacas and, oh, check out this cool farm I found, or this cool, you know, everyone's making sourdough lately. You know, that's a thing I will never do. I'm not a cook. But it's just, it's kind of nice to just have that channel to get out in the world and meet new people. With my journey into alpaca, I've journeyed into hand dyeing. I would love to actually do my own hand dyeing, but there's tons of, a good friend of mine, the Knitting Cat, she does all her spinning and dyeing, and, you know, all of her stuff is great. And it's been so cool to see how people actually dye wool and dye yarn and just that whole process. Shirsty Cat's another one that I follow, that she does amazing hand dyeing. A couple of others I can think of off the top of my head that I've actually used recently is the Zippy Zebra. I love everything by the Zippy Zebra. She's got the most gorgeous blends, and they're alpaca, so they're a little muted, but I love it. I just got a couple skeins of Autumn Breeze from her, and it was this, I would think it'd be usable for springtime, but it was kind of a white beige with a bit of, you know, red, some browns, just some muted leaf colors, but it could be easily usable for summer or fall. And I ended up making a chunky tank top out of it. But she has amazing alpaca. Another one I've used recently is You Knit, I Dye. She's got a little bit of a smaller selection, but she's got super fun. I got a super fun yellow from her that I was expecting to be super yellow, and it ended up being like yellow and purples, and it was just so fun and just gave me spring vibes all day. And I absolutely loved her stuff. She has some blue that I've been eyeballing, so I might knit up something in blue. I just haven't figured out what yet. And the final one that I've recently used directly is Ohio Alpaca Textiles. She's got, again, a smaller collection. It's hard to find alpaca that's hand-dyed, but she's got a smaller collection, but she has chunky and worsted weight. And she has just a wide range of color. Like, she's got blues and she's got red. A lot of the sunflower kind of spring vibes are coming in. Her yarn's been gorgeous to use. So those are the ones I've used directly recently. The only other dyer that pops to mind right now, and there's so many of you, so I will keep looking and keep finding more people. The only other dyer that I can think of right now is Dyes by Dells, I think his name is. He's got a gorgeous line of very like darker, cool colors, very like nature-based. He recently did a whole collection. They have a knit box. I believe that's what it is. And they have a box where it's all based on colorways inspired by the Golden Compass book series. And I guess it's a TV show as well. But they have different colors for the characters and different parts of the story, and it's just such a cool idea. I love anything that's literature based, so it's such a cool idea. And his yarn is super gorgeous, but it is wool based, so I cannot use it. I would love to, but it's definitely some gorgeous stuff. If you can use wool, check it out. He's got some good stuff. He also is doing a podcast as well with Max the Knitter. It's called Les Garçons, and I think they're doing an episode every month. I'm not sure. I haven't checked, but it's fun to sit in it and hear about what they're doing. There are a couple other podcasts I would recommend listening to, other than mine, if you're still here. Just a Dose of Love. She's got a great podcast where she goes over things. She's located on YouTube, as far as I've seen. Another one is Fiber for the People. Sitting in, I could watch every episode of her podcast. It's just so fun, and you really do feel like you're sitting with a friend. She also has video casts every Wednesday of just different things, and it's just, the photography is amazing, so I would definitely check her out. And the other one, if you're bouncing around, I listen to all my podcasts on Spotify, but Getting It Done. She's just got such a nice demeanor, and she's super relaxing to listen to, so I would definitely recommend that. Getting away from hand dyers and kind of you know, specialty alpaca or anything like that, I do use a couple of good commercial yarns that are, I think, are pretty affordable. My go-to for most things is Blue Sky Fiber. They have a really good cotton line. They also have a alpaca silk line, which is sport weight, which is super nice. Another commercial yarn that I've recently moved into using is, it's called Mila by GGH. And it is a worsted weight, but it has a nice variant in color. So the gradient's really pretty. And it knits up really, really nicely into scarves. I was using, by the Alpaca Yarn Company, I was using Asperial in all their different blends and colors. I had a gorgeous blue Asperial scarf that I ended up for my husband. And it was just, you know, it was super great, but it is a more luxury yarn, so it's a little more expensive. But I found that Mila, it's not as soft as the alpaca, of course, but it does have that very pretty look to it. It does striping really well. I'm really pleased with it. It is a bit harder to find. I kind of had to hunt around quite a bit to find it, but when you do find it, it's, well, I think it's like $12. It's not too much. It is super nice to use. I recently moved. I was heavyweight yarn knitter, so I typically stick into worsted, bulky, and chunky. That's kind of what I like to knit, and I've decided, you know, as we've gotten into spring, I'm like, all right, I did a couple of chunky tank tops, which were, you know, they're nice and they keep me warm, but I kind of felt like they were more like fall appropriate just with the weight they are. So I've tried moving into sport and fingering weight, and I have not knit with sport and fingering before. So it has been a transition. I don't know how people knit things up so fast in sport and fingering weight. It goes so slow, and, you know, you knit for like an hour and then you get like an inch. I feel like these are going to be longer haul projects, but I would like to, you know, get faster at knitting. And I'm not typically a slow knitter, but I wouldn't say I'm the fastest knitter style. I don't do continental, but I've heard that you can knit so much faster if you do. So I throw my yarn, but I enjoy it, and I've kind of got my tension worked out, and I don't even think about it. Don't knit super slow, but in terms of my knit speeds, you know, I can finish a hat in like a day. I can finish a scarf in like a week, week and a half. So I'm not a super slow knitter, but I'm not the fastest in the world. It is something I'm working on improving, but it's kind of one of those things that I feel like you just practice until you get better with it. I will say that in terms of what I am working on currently, I told you my stories about my tank tops. I've kind of slowed down with that. I tend to always try to keep it down to like 3 work in progress, because I had a habit of having like 5 things just all over my house. I just slowly keep leaving needles everywhere. But I'm trying to keep it a lower count of work in progress. I want enough that I have the chance to be flexible, because sometimes I'm, you know, able to focus on a pattern and something that's more involved. And then there are other days where I really just kind of want to space out and just mindlessly knit while I watch a show. So I like to kind of keep a complicated, you know, an easy, and then kind of like a mid-ground, like something that's a little more like a seed stitch that, you know, I have to pay a little more attention to, but I don't need complete focus for it. So I like to keep it to about a three level minimum. And so what I've been working on lately, I'm working on a Myla GGH white scarf, trying to build up some inventory for the fall so that I can sell a couple of my scarves. And I just want to have a nice color selection for everybody. It's not super complicated. It's just some nice knit edges for some buffer. And then it's just stuck knit stitch in the middle. But I like the way it looks. It's just kind of like my go-to pattern lately. The next thing I've been working on are some face washcloths, actually. I was just going through and thinking about, I was trying to remove my makeup. And I was like, why don't I have any good scrubbing pads? Like, I don't want to use cotton. I don't want to, you know, waste and have makeup wipes. I like to just use my face wash and just wash my face. And I was like, why don't I have any good cotton face washes? Why isn't that a thing? And so I decided to make some. I was like, all right, fine. So I looked up this pattern. It's I don't know how to say her name, so sorry. I think her name's Elania. So it's Elania's Simple Seed Stitch is the pattern. And it's just a simple seed stitch with a knit edge on the sides for a washcloth. It's great. Like, it's short, it's simple, it's enough to keep me interested. Like a seed stitch, I can't just zone out. I don't think I have to remember not to knit all my knit stitches and purl the purl stitches. It keeps me a little on my toes. It's not complicated, but enough that I have to pay a little attention. I did that in Lily and Sugar, and I don't know what the yarn is actually called, but it ended up being this green, yellow, and white yarn. And it was just a nice kind of, it knit up really pretty, and the striping was really nice. And with the size of the pattern, you end up getting about 4 stripes, which is a good color combo because you get all the colors and it ends really pretty. So I did a couple of those. I'm trying to stash bust this year. My goal is to stop buying so much yarn that I'm not using. So my goal is to stash bust. I do want to do a couple giveaways. I want the yarn to get some use. I don't want it to just sit. And there's a lot of projects that I kind of was like, oh, maybe I'll do this. And I never got to them. So I really just want to try to minimize this year. I have a couple of acrylic cakes that I don't use that I'd like to give away. I started with acrylic when I was learning, but I found that I didn't really like the feel of acrylic. It's a little too rough. It makes nice warm garments, but it just never really liked it. So I have some really pretty Lion Brand cake yarn, but I'm not going to personally use it. And I feel like somebody else could use it. And I feel like it's just going to waste in my stash. Little cubbies. I have, you know, 4x4 cubbies that I just put all my yarn in, and it's kind of overflowing. I have a whole, like, one section is all roving, and then I have, like, my workables and my knitwear, and then it just, I'm kind of a messy stash person. And I love, like, people that have all the organized stash. I wish that was me. You know, I did see a couple of, I think it was the Drunk Knitter that was doing a yarn basket where you put your basket, like, attached to a wall, and it just held your yarn for you. And then I've seen people who have the hooks that have all of their yarn in cakes, and it's all colored, and I would love to do that. But most of my yarn does not sit in cakes. It is typically in a skein until I wind it. So, but I'd like to get a little more organized. I feel like cutting down on my stash would help with a bit of the clutter, and I feel like it would just give my craft room just more of a clean vibe, and I can have more focus on things I want to do and where all my needles are. I'm a mess with needles. That's one of those things. I think I was listening to one of these podcasts and they were like, what do you collect? And I definitely collect needles. That is my thing, is I like to be able to have a project and then put it down and then pick up another project and not have to transfer needles and figure it out. I like to just have an abundance of needles that I have what I need when I need it. So it's like, I collect needles. That's what I do. I collect needles. I wish I collected tapestry needles because every time I try to weave in my ends, I can never find them. I think I have two. And it's always an adventure. I'm always like, where are my needles? Where's my yarn measuring tape? Because I only have one of those. So I'm definitely pretty chaotic when it comes to my crafting. So my goal this year is to, I'd love to get back to a sweater. I'd like to de-stash. I would like to kind of cleanse my little area and get my craft room workable and nice. And I want to keep outreaching. I really want to just, I'm less worried about getting myself out there. And I really want to just collaborate with people and, you know, show all these amazing small businesses and accounts that I've run into. I really want to get that out into the world. Last year was not great. You know, I think that's being mild. Last year was not great. And I feel like this year I want to be more proactive and I want to be more conscious of what I'm doing. And I really want to, you know, I'm not shooting for the stars here, but I want to, you know, help make an impact and, you know, do things. And this is the start of it. This is what I'm hoping. And I'm hoping to get a little more structured. So that's the real big goal here. That's the T. My final piece is a t-shirt. I always start up with a pattern and I'm always really intimidated by patterns. And I don't know if that's just a new knitter thing, but I'm always looking at patterns and I get overwhelmed and I'm like, oh God, I don't know how to do this. And, you know, I'm not skilled enough to do this. In the developer world, that's considered imposter syndrome. You think you're an imposter and you're not actually talented enough to do anything. And I feel like that kind of applies to life in general and everything. I look at these patterns and I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to be ever skilled enough to do that. So I get kind of discouraged. So I've started this pattern called the Breeze Racer Back by Jesse Made Designs. It's in fingering, which was all brand new to me, but it looked nice. And I was like, all right, I have the circular needles for it. And I was like, I'm just gonna try this. I'm just gonna try this. And I'm just gonna jump right into it. Take it one row at a time. I feel like I should be capable of doing it. And I think I just need to take a little bite at a time. So I have started it. And I think I'm maybe four rows in. I know you have to do... It's like 8 inches of 1x1 rib, which, you know, I know how to do that. I will worry about the next part when I get to it, but I have about, it's slow going. There's a lot of stitches and it's in the round. There's a lot of stitches. I think I have maybe like an inch. It's slow going, but I definitely want to try it and attempt it. I like the racer back look. I wear a lot of racer back t-shirts and I'd like to just, I was really proud when I wore my first tank top that was chunky weight. So I really want to try this. And I'll get back to my sweater. I don't feel as bad about putting off the sweater because I do see people that are like, I've been knitting 7 years. I've been knitting 10 years. I've been knitting 15 years. I still haven't done a sweater yet. So I don't feel totally bad. I don't think it's something that I should gauge my skill set by. I really just want to enjoy knitting. Like I want to get the creative juices going. So I feel like while it's summer, I'm going to do some summer knits. I'm going to do some summer knits and we'll see how it goes. But I'm really excited for it. The Knit and Cat also recommended Clara t-shirt. So it's on Ravelry. It's just called Clara. Clara by Jennifer Wood. She's got a lot of kind of like t-shirts that I really liked. She's got a bunch of t-shirts. She's got a bunch of pullovers. And she's got a Keep Me tee. And she's got a Jolie tee, which I really like the look of as well. I want to learn how to do lace knitting. I've never done lace knitting. And I know a lot of fingering weight patterns typically do lace. So I would like to try kind of branching out into this. You know, I think it's something I should try. I don't think, you know, I see all the Instagram posts where everyone's like, what kind of knitter are you? Do you prefer chunky weights or do you prefer lightweights? I think I should give lightweight yarn a go. I don't think I should write that off. I think it's good to try something new. So I'm very ready to keep going. And if there's anyone who uses sock fingering, you know, lightweight, how do you knit so fast? You got any tips? You know, what should I be doing? How do you stay motivated and interested on such a big project? Gotta keep on moving with that, but it'll be fun. and I'll let you guys know how it goes, really. And the final little segment I kind of want to get into, as scattered and unorganized as this has been, the final thing I want to kind of touch on is pattern creation. And I am about 2 years in. I'm still a beginner knitter, but I have tried my hands at a few of my own patterns. I've seen a lot of my friends are putting out new patterns. KnitV put out, she had her baby bonnets, and I think she had baby booties come out, very vintage knits, which have been great. So Claire came out with the Frankenstein purse. She also came out with the Naughty Mermaid, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous crochet. You can have sides on it, or you can have just the nice, pretty, like, V in the stomach, but it's super gorgeous. Like, I'm shocked at how well this pattern is. It's so cool. And if I was going to learn how to crochet, it would be her pattern. But that is Claire Creations 89. And she's got the coolest looking pattern that just came out. Yeah, so people have been coming out with patterns, and I'm all for it. Like, I love supporting launches, and I really love seeing people succeed and just put their patterns out there. I know Knit Diaries just put out a ton of patterns. I had a brief segment on test knitting and that kind of thing, but it's really stressful, from what I've heard, about making a pattern and doing the test knitting and getting it out there. A lot of people want to be size inclusive, which is great. I often modify my knits to just match what, you know, my size is. It's just kind of like I'm winging it because there's no, you know, set, you know, parameters that suit my measurements. And it's just, it's a little frustrating, you know, us plus size girls. Something that it would be nice to see more patterns where I don't have to do the guesswork and be like, oh God, is this going to fit? My first halter I adjusted, and I was like, I overcalculated. I was like, oh, maybe I need this much. I overcalculated by it like 3 sizes. I don't know what happened, but it was a shame because, you know, I had to frog that whole thing, and I hate frogging knits. If I had to frog a knit, I just kind of toss it and put it to the side, and it's just going to sit there till I'm ready. You know, I always wanted to do test knitting for people. I think test knitting would be so fun to just kind of help and get their pattern launched and just support the creators. And I never do test knitting because I'm always nervous. I'm like, I'm not that skilled of a knitter. I just, you know, in my head, imposter syndrome, I'm not that skilled of a knitter. So I feel like I'll lag behind. I won't be able to keep up. I'll bog down the pattern. You know, it's just all these thoughts kind of race through my head. So I don't test knit, but I follow people's things and I save posts of people that are like calls for test knitters, and I save it. And I'm like, I'd love to test knit. And so what I ended up doing was I started my own pattern because I was like, all right, well, if I don't feel confident enough to test knit, I still feel like I can make a couple of my own patterns. And the first pattern I wanted to do was, it was a Fair's Isle stranded hat, of all things to start. It was simple enough, pattern in the middle, and then it has a really cool closed, you know, kind of like sun at the top. It took me a couple tries to kind of start this pattern, and I don't write anything down. This is my process. I don't write anything down, which is terrible. If you're going to make a pattern, you should probably write things down. But I just kept doing it from, you know, memory, and I was like, oh, you know, and then I would compare to the one I had already completed, and I was like, oh, you know, I got to figure out this quirk, and this is weird. Doing a lot of tweaking, and I did about 4 of these hats until I ran out of steam. You know, I got about 4. They were all slightly different. I was still trying to correct the decreases at the end to make the sun properly. It was a lot of trial and error, which was great, but it was something that I definitely burned out on because I definitely did like 4 of these hats back to back, like every day. And I got really tired of knitting my stuff. And I was like, all right, well, the pattern's not perfect, so I can't move it to a test knit phase because I'm still trying to work out the logistics of it. But I'm also burnt out because I'm tired of knitting my same thing over and over and over again. So I took a break on that and I switched to doing a pattern for my work. I wanted to do a knit kind of like embroidered style of my company. So I wanted to do the name of my company and then the company logo in one of the letters. And I was like, okay, so, you know, I tried to figure out a color chart from what I've seen. Like, all right, I don't know how exactly to do the repeating color chart. So I'm just going to give it a go and try it based on exact stitches. And it's going to be a giant color chart, but it's only a one-time thing, and I'm not going to sell or reuse the pattern just for personal use. So I was like, I don't care how it looks. And I started knitting it, and I did not realize that I made it way too big. Like, I want the letters to be big enough to be seen, and, you know, knit stitches are small, so I'll just do a letter 3x3. And I did my chart and everything was 3x3 and it was all printed out. And I was like, okay, this looks good. And then I actually knit it out and it was massive. It was absolutely massive. And this picture's on my Instagram. If you scroll through it, it was absolutely massive, way, way bigger than it needed to be. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is huge. I wanted this cute little tiny name and logo. Like, I just wanted it like centered on the hat. Like, I didn't want anything on the back or the sides. It was just supposed to be this simple logo, and it was massive. And I was like, oh no. So I reworked it and scaled it down. I haven't tried it again, but I have it printed out and it's all done to be the tiny logo. And we'll see how it goes. I had to scale it down to, instead of, you know, 3x3 letters, it ended up being one, you know, one knit stitch to kind of make the logo kind of an embroidered look. It was definitely a trial and error. And I think that's something that people don't talk about enough. The adventures of making a pattern and, you know, how you do a lot of mistakes. And when I went into this, I was like, oh, you know, I know knitting. I've seen enough patterns. I can figure this out. But it's like, you do make those silly mistakes. And I think it would be more fun to see more visibility into just, you know, making a pattern goes. I will attempt it again. I will pick up my pattern eventually, probably as it gets more towards the fall, and maybe I'll release it after I work out the quirks, but I just needed a break from it. I was talking to V, just beginner stuff. I was talking to V and I was like, with stranded knitting, you float along the yarn inside. So you have to make sure it's loose enough so you don't pinch it, but you will carry the yarn along. So you get these little bars, like stripes, inside your yarn as you're floating along. And I was looking at it and I was like, oh, this doesn't look very nice. It doesn't look very neat. You know, I want to do a sweater. I want it to have, you know, the Fair Isle look to it. You know, I want that. But I felt like I wasn't doing it right. So I reached out to V and I was like, hey, V, I feel like I'm not doing this right. Can you kind of let me know, is there a better way I should be doing color work? And, you know, I sent her a picture of the inside of my hat. And I was like, look at this thing. I did a Glacier Peak hat. And look at the inside of this. And V sent me a picture back. She's so great about it. She sent me a picture back. And she's like, no, no, that's just what it looks like. Color work. You know, it's always ends up being a hot mess. And it's just one of those things that you don't actually hear. But it's like, my wrong side was really like, I actually, now looking back, think it looks really nice and neat. But at the time, I was just like, this is a mess. What is happening? But it's just some fun, like, wealth of knowledge, just being able to have somebody to reach out to and send pictures and be like, why is this the way it is? It's always so refreshing. And everybody I've ever asked a question to has been great. Like, I've reached out to the Knitting Cat. You know, I've been like, why is my spinning clumped up like this? And I always get this weird thing at the end. And she's like, oh, you know, try it this way. And if it doesn't work, I can send you a video on it. And everybody I reach out has been great. And I've asked other knitters, you know, hey, you know, look at this pattern. I'm confused about this paragraph. And they've broken it down to me. And it's just been such a great wealth of a community. And I'm so glad to be in it. And I can't even imagine my life if I hadn't ended up knitting. Like, I don't know what would have happened. I would have been so bored. I can't imagine what it would have been like if I hadn't wandered up and ended up where I was today. So it's been a journey. And it's going to continue to be a journey, because I am very much in the beginning of my adventure. And I am so excited to see in 2 more years what other thing will I have discovered? Where will I be at? And I'm excited to get there. So I hope you tune in next time. You bring the knits, I'll pack up the yarn, and I'll see you then.